Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains mistreated items. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You click the light on in an old garage. It's littered with piles of torn up trash, old soda cans, and broken appliances. A pair of sandals hang limp out of the trash can. A pair of ripped paper lanterns hang lifelessly from the ceiling. An old umbrella sits propped up in the corner, one of its metal rods poking through the fabric. Just as you go to turn the light off, you hear something near the trash can move. Out of the corner of your eye, it looks like the flip-flops were talking to one another. As you focus on the flip-flops, you hear the sound of the umbrella opening. Turning to face the corner of the garage, you're stunned. The once dormant umbrella is now alive and hopping towards you. A human eye in the middle of its fabric blinks with mischievous delight. The paper lanterns start laughing from the ceiling. Killian, what is this creature?
It's not a creature, it's animaticity.
Kind of. It is the Tukumagami. Tukumagani, Gami.
Oh, I thought it was like that magic.
Hold on, we're going to find out. Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. So, Killian, as always, first things first, we have to thank our friends, Georgia and Amy, for introducing us to the strange world of the Tukumagami. And I hope that is the way I say it.
Which country is this from?
We're about to find out. So that opening scene was a little bit wild. Sounded like what happened to Sid at the end of the first Toy Story movie.
Yeah, kind of, but in like a more menacing way.
Yeah. So that's what happens when you mess with a Tukumagami.
Well,
so do you know anything about the Tukumagami?
I think I know one thing.
Okay, what do you know?
It uses like a black magic to like make household objects move.
Okay, well, I don't know, so we're gonna find out.
Well, I think that.
Okay, that's a great. Great guess.
It's just by the Killian picture of this.
Yeah. So the Tukumagami comes to us from Japanese folklore. Remember our episode on the giant skeleton yokai, otherwise known as the Gashadokuru. Thank you, Killian. Gashadokuru. And the mythical nine-tailed fox, the...
Kitsune.
Very, very good. And of course...
No, Naruto is a nine-tailed fox.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. And of course, everyone's favorite kaiju, Godzilla. So...
And King Kong, if King Kong is...
I don't think he's considered a kaiju.
I don't think.
So... Basically, all that to say is that we've learned a lot about Japanese folklore, so I'm excited to add to the list the Tukumagami.
Mm-hmm.
So, they are objects that have acquired a spirit or a consciousness after reaching their 100th year of existence. Ooh, so you weren't totally right, but you also weren't totally wrong either.
Oh,
so
another episode like that.
The concept originates from Japanese animism, which holds that spirits...
I thought it was animism.
Yes.
So that's what I meant to say.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, you were right. So that means it's like it holds a spirit that can inhabit object, animals, or natural phenomena.
I want to learn this magic.
I'm about to ask you a question that I know you know the answer of, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you know what animism is?
Making, like, objects move. Making objects move.
So animism, yes, you are correct. But to expand upon that more, animism is the belief that objects, places, and creatures all possess a distinct spiritual essence. Animism perceives all things, animals, plants, rocks, rivers, weather systems, human creations, and in some cases, words as being animated, having agency and free will or feelings. So it's like in the movie Pocahontas, when Grandmother Willow comes to life, she has thoughts and feelings and actively communicates with Pocahontas.
I have a question.
Yes.
Could a human being do this, like move, like, let's just say like a flower pot? Could they do that with the like right materials?
Well, it's got nothing to do with that. It's not magic. As like, that's the part that you got a little bit wrong, is it's not magic. It is the belief that everything has a, like, feelings, thoughts, like a soul, kind of. So it's like, have you ever like gone to, this is the big one for mommy. Have you ever gone to a store and seen like a toy or like a cup or anything at this, like an item that's like far away from all the other stuff? You're like, oh, it's lonely. It needs to be bought, or it needs to be, I need to take it where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way, that like an item was lonely or sad?
Yeah.
That is kind of what animism is. It's the belief that those things really do feel lonely, sad. They have feelings and thoughts and things like that. Like one time, mommy wanted a cup from Target, like a mug, and it had a penguin, and it had the little lid was its head. And out of all the penguins, one of them had a little chip in his head, like a part of his head was broken. And so mommy picked that one because I thought he was sad because no one would have bought him because he was hurt. So I bought that one, and we still put him out. We call him Chip Chili. Have you seen that cup? He looks like a penguin.
No.
Like it's a Christmas mug. So it only goes on the shelf at Christmas time.
Now you've just made it lonelier. It goes in a box year round.
With other mugs though, so he's not lonely.
Oh.
Or in this instance, Killian.
Yeah.
There is someone very important in your life who you believe has thoughts and feelings.
Sloth. Yeah, that's the only reason I cared about animism.
It's because to you, Sloth has thoughts and feelings, right?
Because I wanted to make Sloth, like, move.
Okay, so you misunderstood animism just slightly. It's not, we don't make them have thoughts and feelings, they just have them.
Oh, I thought it was, like, magic.
Sloth is Killian's lovey. Okay, Stuffy.
I say Stuffy.
You can call him Stuffy's loveys. Anyway, we've gone off the rails, Killian.
Yes.
Okay. So the tsukumagami are just household items like umbrellas, tea kettles, or sandals that are not being used for a long time or being thrown away, and it's when they come to life. So how do you think a discarded toy would act once it comes to life?
Mad.
I would think so. So you think it would be, do you think it would be nice, or do you think it might cause a little mischief and trouble? So there could be a lot of different things. So some...
Could animism toy, like, come to life still if it, like, had, like, a broken piece or something?
I don't see why not. Well, it depends, because this is what the tsukumagami. So, okay. All of them can be different. So some of them may be mischievous, vengeful, or even kind, depending on how they were treated by their original owners. That's important. Neglected or mistreated objects are more likely to become evil and hunger for human flesh. I'm just joking. They don't actually want human flesh. But they do like to play tricks on mortals. So there are a few popular tsukumagamis. The first are the Karakasa, a sentient one-eyed umbrella with a long tongue. The Bakzori, a straw sandal that comes to life and runs around chasing people. And the Kuchin Obaki, a paper lantern with a face and a mischievous personality. All three of those were in our opening, like our Killian picture this moment, if they sound familiar.
Could I see some tsukumagamis?
We'll look it up later.
Okay.
Can you think of any examples of tsukumagami?
Maybe like your Bruno doll.
Potentially. Well, I believe at the beginning of this, we decided that they become tsukumagami when they've been around for 100 years.
Oh, so this hasn't been around for 100 years.
No, we got that at Disney on Ice like 2 years ago. So, no.
Yeah, no.
I think, though, that Tsukumagami are, like, not all things with the belief of animism and Tsukumagami go hand in hand, but they are not the same thing.
Does that make sense? Yeah, I had a thought. Like, I thought Tsukumagamis were not, like, the objects themselves. I thought it was, like, a little, like, devilish puppeteer.
That, like, possessed items?
Yeah.
Got it.
Like, in, like, The Exorcist, like, it makes, like, items move.
Gotcha.
Because
you've seen The Exorcist so many times.
Oh, no. Papa just tells me about it.
Okay. So I think that animism is the belief that inanimate objects have thoughts and feelings. But the Tsukumagami is a specific folklore from Japan of that items that have been around for 100 years kind of come to sentience and react depending on how they were treated. I believe that's the difference.
That picture has been there for 100 years.
That picture has not been there 100 years. Nice try, though. I'm trying to think if we have anything in our house that's been around for... We have a couple antiques that for sure could have been around for 100 years, but we don't know for sure.
Probably that Rapunzel thing.
No. None of those things are old. 100 years is a long time, kid.
Okay. What about my picture?
Mm-hmm. Killian, you are only 9, so you think a picture of you is 100 years old? Anyway, so are you ready for a story?
Yeah.
It's called The Umbrella's Revenge.
That's a horror movie.
The summer festival in Wren's mountain town had ended hours ago, but the 13-year-old stayed near an ancient shrine kicking pebbles. His classmates had gone home, warned by their parents not to stay out after dark. The Hayaki Yagoi had come out tonight. Wren had heard the stories of the night parade of hundreds of demons, but Wren didn't believe the ghost stories. All that changed when the clock struck midnight. A cold mist seeped from the forest, swallowing the streetlights. Wren froze as the shadows twisted into shapes, impossible forms. A parade of creatures flooded the road, their laughter echoing like broken wind chimes. Leading them was a bald, grinning yokai in a silk kimono, with a massive gourd-shaped head, the Nurahan.
You're sorry for people that have this accent, who speak the language of these Japanese yokais. Mm-hmm. We are sorry if we are not saying them right and you don't understand us.
Well, the Nurahyan, the master of the night parade. Wren ducked behind a stone torii gate, heart pounding. Frog-like kappas slapped webbed hands on their water-filled head bowls.
Kappas!
Singing Bokzori straw sandals with googly eyes hopped past, chanting songs. A paper lantern with a creepy face bobbed above the crowd, its flame casting jagged shadows across the horrifying parade. Then Wren saw it. A tattered blue umbrella hopping on its wooden handle, a single yellow eye glowing like a firefly. A frayed red tongue lolled from its cloth mouth. Wren's stomach dropped. He recognized the chipped bamboo ribs and the cherry blossom pattern his grandmother had stitched years ago. His umbrella, the one he tossed into the river after a storm tore its fabric. The umbrella paused, its eye narrowing. It locked onto Wren, a wicked gleam in its one eye. Uh-oh, Wren whispered as the umbrella lunged. Wren bolted down the mist-choked street. The umbrella's handle click-clacked as it pursued. Wren dodged a tengu swooping from the rooftop, its long nose twitching with amusement. A trio of kappa giggled, pointing webbed fingers as the boy skidded around the corner. Leave me alone, Wren yelped, vaulting over the low fence. Karakasa's handle snapped like a crab's claw, snagging Wren's shirt. The boy twisted free, but the umbrella's eye blazed. Ren realized that the umbrella looked both hurt and furious. Rain began to fall, cold and sudden, though the sky was cloudless. "I'm sorry," Ren cried, slipping in the mud. "I didn't think you'd..." Click clack! The umbrella hissed, circling him. The other yokai gathered to watch, their forms flickering in the downpour and lantern light. The umbrella spun faster and faster until it became a blur of blue. The rain intensified, drenching Ren, but only him. All the yokai stayed dry, cackling as the boy shivered. Okay, I shouldn't have thrown you away, Ren shouted, shielding his face. You were my favorite. I just thought you were broken. The rain stopped. The umbrella tilted, its eyes softening. With a final click-clack, it hopped back towards the parade, leaving Ren sitting in a puddle. The next morning, Ren waded into the river, his sneakers squelching in the mud. He found the old blue umbrella wedged between the rocks, its fabric sagging. Back home, he patched the tears with his grandmother's thread and propped the umbrella by his door. That night, a soft click-clack echoed from the hallway. Ren smiled into his pillow. Some ghosts, he decided, made pretty good friends. The end.
That was so sweet. I thought something kind of happened in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I thought, like, when the rain was falling, the boy, Ren, was going to use the umbrella to make it happier so it would stop, like, trying to kill him.
I understand. Use the umbrella to be like, oh, I'm going to still use you.
Yeah, like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. I liked that story. I thought it had a nice ending.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the Tsukumagami?
I liked it.
I did too. I for sure can believe that something like that could happen. That's why we should treat our items with kindness and respect. We don't break things on purpose. We take care of things. We clean them. We keep them nice because you never know.
Oh, no.
I know.
All the balloons I purposely popped.
So what do you think stories like this, what do you think the like moral or the like what the story is trying to tell us?
Keep good things, good care of your things.
I think so too. So I just exactly like you said, we just had to remember to take good care of things and to treat things with things can break on accident sometimes. Just like I'm sure he didn't intentionally break his umbrella, but we should try and take care of things. So that's it for the Tsukumagami. I'm so sorry if I pronounced anything wrong because listen, well, Daddy did put in here how to pronounce Tsukumagami.
Yeah.
It did not give me pronunciations for any other words in this story.
Father, why?
I know. Let's take a second to thank our friends Georgia and Amy again for suggesting the Tsukumagami. I really liked this story.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you for listening. I am Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog. Until next time, remember,
the cryptids are watching.